Welcome to Sustainable Sessions, hosted by yours truly, Lucas and Lauren.
Episode 3, featuring Earth Suds.
Welcome to Sustainable Sessions, episode 3 with Earth Suds. So we got Marissa and Dan here. So if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Hello. Hi, yeah, I'm Marissa. I'm 21 years old, and I'm a co-founder of Earth Suds.
Nice. Dan?
Dan, also 21, the other co-founder. We both are currently finishing up our undergraduate degrees in business at Wilfrid Laurier University, which is in Waterloo in Ontario.
Nice. And we're so thankful to have you guys here today on our podcast. And we really love what you're doing with your business. So I don't know if one of you kind of want to explain like what Earth Suds does.
Just give an intro and like talk about like what portion of climate change you guys are focusing on.
Mm-hmm. You can go pitch it.
Well, I'm sure you'll do more like the story stuff. So all you have the pitch. Yeah. Here we go. So at Earth Suds, we've created single-use, solid, dissolvable tablets of shampoo, conditioner, and body wash. And our mission is really to eliminate the millions of plastic toiletry bottles that get sent to landfills every year. Reason being is they're often still contaminated with leftover soap and they can't be recycled. They get sent, they can't be recycled in the facilities, get sent to landfills, or they end up in our waterways. And we know that plastic in the ocean is a big kind of prevalent issue nowadays. And so we're just trying to do our part to kind of cut down on specifically toiletry plastics. And so in terms of what, you know, part of climate change, I think there's the disposal piece, but there's also the creation of plastics in general uses, you know, lots of oil, carbon dioxide, water. And so we're taking kind of a full holistic life cycle approach to solving this big plastic toiletry issue in the world.
Awesome. Yeah. Perfect. And yeah, Marissa, if you want to just kind of, you can go a little bit more into like the personal story and kind of like how things came about, but that was awesome, Dan.
Yeah. No, like Dan nailed it right on the head, I guess. Like the personal part of it is more, sort of just like how it got started. Basically, in my first year university, so like Dan said, we're just like finishing up fourth year now. I was always like, I was in business, so I was really interested in doing like case competitions. Like that's the fun like business thing to do. In my like first summer after university, I was just like searching for like competitions I could do like just for fun. I like found a case competition. It was like a and it was like an IDEO challenge, like this online competition. And it was about sustainability. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like I love the environment. And then I also love like case competition. So I was just like entering it for fun. And it gave like really good like background on all the environmental issues. I was like learning a ton of stuff and they were focusing like specifically on all those like really small pieces of plastic, like straws and like coffee lids. And like other things like that, like sachets or like films on like food packaging and stuff. Because all of those, they were saying none of those got recycled because they're just like too small. They're very low value. And I didn't know that and I found it really interesting. And then one specific type of plastic that they were focusing on was for shampoo toiletries and shampoo sachets, like you would get in a hotel or you would get like samples in and stuff, because that's a really harmful type of plastic. And I found that really interesting. I was like toggling between a bunch of different stuff to like enter in the competition. And eventually I settled on that just because it seemed like the most interesting to me. And I was thinking this doesn't really make any sense. Like there's no reason why this can't be just like an environmentally like responsible product when, you know, like all of the other shampoos or whatever, the liquids. So the only reason really that they need to be packaged in plastic is because it's a liquid, it's going to spill out like otherwise. So we don't really, like there are all these like chemists and engineers like trying to create like bioplastics and stuff. Like, I don't know anything about that. Like I'm in business, I wasn't going to try and like do some like chemical stuff or anything. So I'm like, let's just make it a solid product. I mean, can like packaging and stuff that like everyone like widely knows and is a lot better for the environment, like paper that will just like biodegrade or other things like that. So I kind of like set out to do that. And I really didn't know anything about what I was doing. I was like making experiments in my backyard, like mad scientist, just like mixing like cornstarch into shampoo and stuff and trying to like let it like dry out. Like I got like this like fruit dehydrator and was trying to just like dry out the soap and it smelled like so strong. Like it was like really bad. But
yeah, just to like keep going on that point, like maybe you can walk us through kind of like the product iterations that you went through to like how you got to the product that you're at today and what that process like looked like for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it started off with these like I tried to first like make this like soap dough kind of thing that was like a Play-Doh of like soap and tried to make it into strips, and that was like the very first thing. And then eventually like I was thinking like, you know, this probably isn't going to work, like this is like way too like soft or whatever. So then I just like kept on like trying to think of like different things. Like I had no idea what I was doing. Like I even tried to get just like bar soap, and I was like, oh, bar soap's the same as shampoo, right? And I like, tried to make it into these like thin little strips, and I used it in the shower. I was like, no, this isn't gonna work. And then I started thinking of other things. I found this like weird dissolvable paper, like you can actually buy like printer paper that will like dissolve if like water touches it. So then I used that and like covered it in like shampoo to make like these dry paper soap strips, and that worked pretty well. But there was like still some issues with it, and this is around time that like Dan and I met, and we were like, okay, we're going to like conquer this together. And then Dan helped with getting some hotel pilots and stuff, and we were testing it in a couple hotels, and then the feedback from the hotels was like kind of what we assumed, like the strips just like didn't dissolve the way that we wanted, it wasn't enough soap, and we were kind of like, okay, this like form isn't even going to work anymore. So then that's when we started experimenting with other stuff. And then eventually we settled on this tablet form, which is what we've stuck with today. And we made small, tiny tweaks, but still it's that tablet form.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, and that's such a great story too, just to hear you come from like that true in your garage, trying to figure things out and just experimenting, and then getting to a point where like you guys have a really strong finished product. Like from what I remember like reading online, like it doesn't get affected by moisture. It's really light, easy to package, and just across the board, just a really good alternative to obviously like the plastic bottles with the liquid soap. So that's really awesome. Great answer.
I guess in terms of for you, Dan, what kind of inspired you to get more into like this whole realm of like sustainability? Like what attracted you to like want to work with Marissa, and like what's kind of your story from that side too?
Yeah, so one of the reasons I decided to go to Laurier was because it was in Kitchener-Waterloo, such a great entrepreneurial ecosystem. And so at the end of first year, I started up a different company with someone who was on my floor actually at the time. And we did like an education tech software. I won't get into it too much, but essentially that fizzled out. And so I was looking for kind of my next passion project, and knew I wanted to, you know, get involved in the startup world again. And so I was doing some personal reflecting, and I've always been super passionate about the environment. Like since we were 5 years old, our parents would be taking us out for Earth Day cleanups when no one else was out, and just getting involved in sustainability initiatives. So I knew it wanted to be something along the lines of making, you know, the world's environment a lot better. And so I heard Marissa pitch it in our in our entrepreneurship class. And so I was like, okay, cool idea, but I didn't know if there was, you know, much market viability. And so I was thinking about it for the next kind of couple weeks after that. And then we ran into each other at a Lazaridis event. And that's when I kind of brought up like, hey, you know, what's the plan for this? And I knew how hardworking Marissa was because we had worked on a sustainability challenge together before. And I was like, wow, like this girl is in, like she's committed, knowing like nothing about cosmetic chemistry, and just like, okay, let's figure it out, like so resilient. So that was, you know, someone I definitely wanted to be on a startup team with. And I thought, well, maybe I can contribute some of my past experience setting up kind of B2B pilots, because with the EdTech software we had sold into a couple of private schools, and so I kind of knew how that whole selling system worked. So I thought I'd try it out. And you know, a month in, I was hooked. It was such a cool product, such a great idea. And I guess the rest is history from there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I guess it would be kind of interesting to hear now too, because that was like at the beginning of your journey. How have things evolved? And maybe like you can talk a little bit about like the progress and like the metrics of like where you're at today.
Like, yeah, like fast forward like 2 years into it, like where are you guys currently at? And like, what are you guys kind of hoping to achieve? I guess maybe COVID-19 definitely put the brakes on things a little bit, but let's just assume, I don't know, what are kind of your endeavors for the upcoming years?
Even talk about like what contingency plans you guys have put in place, like how has everything kind of happened now?
Do you want to give like the recap? Maybe I can like talk more about COVID stuff.
Okay, that sounds good. So yeah, back maybe a year and a half ago, we were still trying to sell into hotels, and that seemed really like the right strategy. Got a lot of really good feedback from the two pilots that we did, and had, you know, a couple of, like a handful of other hotels interested, but really it didn't make sense for us for a few main reasons. The biggest one being that there's a bit of a consumer education standpoint. So when a guest goes into the hotel room, they might not be expecting to see, you know, a solid tablet for their shampoo. And so we basically just needed more consumer awareness in the B2C market. And so we made a difficult but the right decision in August of 2019 to pivot the business and focus more on the direct-to-consumer channel. So by the end of October, we had launched our own e-commerce site. And so we sell our products online. You can check us out. Shameless plug, www.earthsuds.co. And you can buy our products directly there. But we also sell through retailers. So we're currently in 55 retailers across North America. And so we've really focused in on this direct-to-consumer channel. Hotels might work out in the long run, but it really made sense. This was, you know, the right target market to start with. And so that's where we're at on kind of the market side of things.
And then when I think about it now, I feel like COVID hasn't like affected us as much as like I thought it was going to when like everything first happened, because like it was kind of a disaster when everything like started shutting down, because especially for us, like we were advertising as a travel product, even though we were like kind of out of hotels at this point, like it was still like in the back burner. So it's like all hotels are closed, like nobody's traveling. And like, that's like the key like value that our product was like basically being advertised for. And then also like we were in all these retailers, a lot of them closed or they like went online, but still you're not really going to like buy a new product and just like throw it into your cart the same way that you would if you're just like browsing in person. So in that whole thing slowed down a lot. And we kind of had to pivot everything. And then again, being like, Our whole team is like students. So everyone was split apart because everyone after the university shut down, they all went home. So now we're not all in the same area either. We were producing it out of a facility in the university. So that also closed down. So now we can't make anything. So it's kind of like literally everything just like stopped in like every area of the business. But it like slowly like kind of like work through all of it. So like now we're mostly just trying to communicate the product as something you use for everyday use. I mean, I use it every day. So I feel like a lot of other people would like using it for everyday use too, and just to replace your bulk bottles that you would normally use. We ended up getting a new facility for production, and that's in Kitchener. So we're operating out there right now. And we get to continue to operate, like, thankfully, because we're a manufacturer and like we make hygiene products and everything. So that was fine. And now we're just kind of focused on like this totally different area of like, we had like an e-commerce store before, but really like now it's a lot more ramped up. Like we have a lot more traffic going to there, and it's like great for people too, because you can buy online and then you get it shipped to your door instead of having to go out to the store. So now it's just like this new value around it. And I feel like we've adapted pretty well to all that.
And I guess the other thing was that we launched a buy one, give one campaign, because like a lot of our customers, I think most people in general wanted to do something to help those most vulnerable. But the reality is that those organizations, shelters, food banks, they're already so, like, this is a time of crisis for them. They're already so focused on serving their population that they don't have time to train new volunteers coming in. So we thought this buy one, give one campaign would be a good way to empower customers to feel like they're making a difference while still providing, you know, that donation to the shelters and the food banks that needed these hygiene products in such a crucial time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also just, we ended up developing a hand soap too, because we were thinking, like, we saw all these, like, businesses, like, doing, like, major pivots, like, Estee Lauder like started making hand sanitizer because they have like the alcohol from perfumes and stuff. And like, I remember that hockey company in Canada, they started making like face shields and stuff. And we're like, we're a soap company. Like there's obviously something that we can do, like, like the issue. So we ended up making like this powdered hand soap that we actually just started selling this week. Wow. So
yeah. That's a great pivot too, especially for COVID. You're like making all these adjustments for the crisis that's going on.
That's awesome and great response. Just to kind of give a good recap of where you guys are at and also with what's going on with COVID. So just to pivot a little bit, just to go back to more of maybe a little bird's eye view here when we're talking about like climate change and then a little bit more specifically like the plastic niche, which you guys are focusing on. How do you guys keep up to speed with, I guess, new developments in this space? Or how did you guys learn more about the problem? And for like a viewer that wants to learn more about the plastic problem, where do you recommend for like sources and things that they can kind of get a better understanding of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I was first kind of researching everything like 3 years ago or something, I find it so interesting, but also so cool because at that time, this is going to sound like so like hipster, but like really no one cared about the environment like 3 years ago. The way that it is now, it kind of seems like it's always been like this. But if you think back like 3 years ago, like people weren't protesting about it. Like people, this is like before even like that video of like a turtle getting a straw stuck in its nose, like that was before that. And really that video kind of like really like made everything change. Like that sounds like such a small thing, but really it did. Like there was so much shift after that video happened. So it was like before all of that, and I was trying to figure out like, okay, like this competition that I entered, it, so this is a problem. It's like a really I guess established organization, so like they obviously know what they're talking about. Like I couldn't find like any other information on it. And it's like, okay, like, is this actually like an environmental issue? And especially because we were looking at those like toiletry bottles too, like for hotels. Like this is before like hotels started talking about like trying to ban it and like other things like that. So I was basically just trying to like contact and like reach out to like anyone that I could like for first person research, because like there wasn't really anything online that I could find. So I started just like basically reaching out to like anyone that I could find on like LinkedIn who seemed like kind of like credible or relevant, and also like just reaching into like these very like weird connections that I had through like either like family or friends and stuff, and just like talking to like anybody in the space who I knew, whether it was like water science or like engineering or people who were involved in like recycling. Like I remember I didn't know if like those bottles could be recycled, so I literally called like 10 recycling plants, like called like their whatever like service desk or whatever, and I'm like, hey, I'm trying to like recycle like this bottle, like can I put it in the garbage or like what? And I did that to like at least like 10 places, and like, they all said no. So I'm like, oh, okay. Like I was like really trying to like figure out like, is this an issue for sure? Remember I also went on this site called 10,000 Coffees, just like trying to call people and like talk to them. I think that that's like a really intense way of research. Like that's probably not the easiest way for everyone to learn about it. I feel like there's a lot more easy sources now to get information. I honestly just follow a lot of environmental blogs and everything. Like I've followed National Geographic for a long time, and like they are really good at social media. Like they're all over Twitter, all over like Instagram and everything for like environmental issues. So I do like keep up a lot with it through stuff like that, like just following stuff, and my whole feed is basically that now.
Yeah. It's so cool too to even hear like that shift of 3 years ago, like there not being literally anything, like no information, and then you're just going directly to these sources that are like, okay, yeah, you can't recycle this, and no one knows that, like especially you as a consumer. And then now we have like National Geographic, and I know you guys were also on the May 2020 issue, so if you guys want to like give a little shout out to that too, we would love to hear about that.
Yeah, kind of purposely put National Geographic. Yeah, we're like in the May 2020 issue right now. We have a little blurb in there. So if anybody checks that out, you'll see us. It's just a short thing talking about our tablets and stuff, because we were in a Ocean Plastics Innovation Challenge with them back in December. So we were top 10 in the world for the track that we were in as a finalist. So we went to Washington, D.C. and we got to pitch to like these judges who were basically from like all around the world and stuff. And it was like pretty crazy. Like it was like the most like validating thing from like the environmental side that like I've done to date, like just to have like all these like experts like come up to you after and be like, oh, like what you're doing is like fantastic, like this is like what we need, was like really, really amazing to hear.
Awesome. And I think like a good kind of transition now, like we've talked a lot about being a sustainable entrepreneur and what your stories have been into your buildup into your career now with EarthSuds. I guess if we can kind of jump a little bit to Enactus, because I think that very much encompasses exactly what we're doing and also what you guys are doing. What has your experience been like with Enactus? Could you give like, you don't have to really summarize Enactus, but kind of give it a mention of what they are and kind of how it's impacted EarthSuds' progress since you guys have started?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like Enactus, just higher level, is a social, well, it's an organization that has social enterprise clubs on campuses across the world. And so by being a part of the Enactus Laurier, Enactus kind of club, we've had some of the most incredible people join our team that are so motivated and passionate about social and environmental issues and just so driven, like working nonstop with this common kind of goal of solving this ocean, or all this plastic toiletry bottle worldwide. But Marissa can probably talk more to like how EarthSuds specifically got started with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on Enactus, helping with another business at the time. And after I entered this competition, originally, then I kind of like knew the faculty advisor and stuff, and my entrepreneurship prof, I was talking to him about it. We're all kind of like, okay, like let's try and do it through Enactus. So it was really like built and grown through Enactus. Because to be honest, like I'm a very risk averse person. Like I probably wouldn't do like an entrepreneurial venture, maybe now, but definitely not back then. Where like I was putting like all of my own like stuff into it and like going in like completely alone. I saw Enactus, I was like, oh my God, there's so many like people who can help with this, who are like very passionate and just like want to help and grow this. And I saw that as like the perfect thing. That was like pretty low risk for me as like an entrepreneur to be able to actually like test this out and try to grow it. And it ended up working really well. Like we have a huge team now. And it's really all those people that helped to build it.
Amazing. Awesome. Yeah. I feel like it's really cool to meet like-minded people that are like in this space. And sometimes people don't really know where to go, but then if there are organizations like yours where they're like, they feel like they're part of a team, like that is also like another huge facet to your business that I think is super special.
Yeah. It's a great learning experience for like anyone involved. Just even if you're coming at it, like as a first, you're just trying to like expose yourself to a bunch of different clubs. Like you really get to see the passion of people that are, whether they're actually managing the enterprise or they're just involved, maybe they're second year. But you just see how they really encompass business and a social cause in it and making sure those things are always going hand in hand. And I think even with like first year, my sister was saying now, for first year new venture, you have to have like a social or a purpose with like
you have to pick like one of the 17 sustainable development goals to like focus your business around, which I think is probably like the best thing that we should have been doing and what we should continue to be doing to achieve those goals by the target date. So another kind of question for you guys now is, how has been running EarthSuds, how has that impacted your like perspective on climate change?
Yeah, I guess I can go first, because basically for me with sustainability, it's always been like a do what you can kind of mindset. And like through doing like this business, like I see that even more now, because I think that it's really hard when people go like really hard, like zero waste, like you can't like make any trash, like everything has to be sustainable, like you need like sun things or whatever on your roof. And like you need like everything to be like sustainable, like high efficiency faucets, like everything. And it's like, okay, like slow down, like we can do this all at once, especially like as a university student, like you don't really have a lot of choice over those things. So it really is like do what you can. Like I call myself like vegetarian, but it's really like do it as much as I can kind of thing. Like if I have to eat meat one day, because like that's the only thing that's there, like, oh well, like I'm going to eat meat. But like every other day, like I'll be like pretty much vegetarian or like even vegan most days, because like I know like the amount of pollution and environmental damage that comes from like the meat industry and dairy industry. and stuff like that. So it's just like doing it as much as I can, and it's still making a difference. Same thing with like a lot of other choices that I've made, like little by little, like bringing your own reusable coffee cup, using reusable shopping bags, like everything like that. And just like tacking on all those like small changes, like slowly over years, really is like what's going to make the biggest change, if like everyone is doing little things together. Like just having a lot of people doing like zero waste and stuff perfectly isn't going to do anything. Like it's just not. Like everyone needs to be doing just a little bit of something, and EarthSuds is like one of those little things. So that's kind of like what I've noticed through doing EarthSuds, especially because I can see how small changes add up. All the impact we're making is because so many people have made that one small decision, and I get to see the whole impact of it because I get to see like how much we're selling and how much we're producing. So when somebody buys from us, they might only see that one little pack of shampoo, but I see like the thousands of packs that we've made and those thousands of bottles that have not been made because of us.
That was beautiful. Yeah,
that was a perfect answer. Yeah. And just before you get in there, Dan, too, I think that like you summed it up so well too. I think even for us with our platform, whether on social media or even just in this podcast itself, we have a bunch of different people we're going to have on, but we try to emphasize like, you don't have to be perfect right out the gate, and like, don't hold yourself to that standard. So much of it is like, it's a journey to work towards, and over time you're going to continuously improve. Like even us, like you can start off with simple things like, you know, reusable water bottle, reusable mug, and then slowly you're shifting, like, you know, incorporate EarthSuds, incorporate sustainable clothing, buying stuff secondhand, and then over time you really see how
the changes add up,
like, yeah. It really manifests. And then like you said too, like when everyone in the world starts doing this on a really small scale, it leads to really large impact. So yeah, no, that was a really great response.
Dan, go ahead.
Oh no, I mean I think Marissa summed it up. I think the main point is at least for me, is that, you know, it's important to make these consumer personal choices, but so much of the environmental damage still comes from industry, not from people. And so to create a business that is basically giving people more options, at least in terms of purchasing and what they can use for their shower products, is, I think, in terms of kind of like personal responsibility, taking it one step further, is like, okay, instead of just sitting there and saying, oh, it's industry's fault, like all these environmental issues, it's all because of the businesses that are doing all these horrible things. It's like, okay, no, why don't we go actually start a business that's gonna, you know, make a difference and stop complaining about it and actually, you know, take action.
Yeah, yeah. That was perfect too. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so I guess we'll kind of like wrap things up, because you guys gave us like a lot of cool insight and information that I think a lot of our viewers would find really interesting. I guess you probably have like a bunch of research too from like running EarthSuds and like knowing about the problem, but maybe if you want to share just like one cool fact or like stat about either like plastic pollution or even kind of like one of the main issues that like
EarthSuds is like, it could be something new or something you guys have like say all the time, just something you want to leave the viewers with, like your
that they wouldn't have known.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the one that a lot of people get shocked by is they don't realize that liquid shampoo is 90% water, which is like kind of absurd to think about for a product that you use in a shower where water is coming out of the faucet. It's like, why would you add water to a product in an environment where there's already water? And so that is like a huge goal of what we're doing at EarthSuds. Is I talked a lot about the plastic poetry bottles, but it's also all the other natural resources, and especially water, which is becoming even more scarce and is becoming so important, like is vital to our survival. Yet a lot of Western communities tend to take it for granted. And so that's, I think, one interesting fact and why it's important to use a solid shampoo and hopefully a solid single-use dissolvable tablet from EarthSuds. But hey, if you move to solid shampoo, I'll be happy to.
Awesome.
Cool.
Okay, yeah. Great.
Marissa, do you wanna...
Yeah, if you go ahead.
I kind of already touched on this, but maybe I'll give like a more technical thing. But so I mentioned before, like small plastics can't get recycled, but the actual rule for most recycling facilities, anything smaller that's like 7 by 7 centimeters can't be recycled. Because it's so low value, basically what happens in the recycling plants is there's this sorter that tries to filter out broken glass, and it goes over grates that are basically that size. So anything including glass that's smaller than those 7 centimeters, it gets filtered out. So it really doesn't matter if something is like recyclable, or it has that recycling symbol on the bottom, like your coffee lid, like your straws, like I was saying, cutlery, like plastic cutlery, those are all going to fall through and they're just going to end up in landfill, unfortunately, most of the time, at least, because just the recycling companies, they don't really want to take the effort to fish all of those like small pieces of plastic out when they're so low value. So kind of like that applies to Earth Suds with like any like small toiletries or anything like that. But also I think that's a rule to kind of like apply to all of your recycling and be like thinking about like the size of things. Like don't be throwing out like single bottle caps in the garbage, like make sure it's attached to the bottle and you're throwing out the whole bottle so that the whole thing gets recycled, just like small things like that.
Awesome.
Perfect. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Awesome, guys. Well, thank you guys so much for your time. It's been a pleasure. I definitely think our viewers are going to learn a lot from what you guys had. And
we'll throw the website, your website here, so they can check it out. And hopefully you guys get some purchases and sales from there.
Thanks, Lauren. Thanks, Lucas.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you would like to learn more, visit us at www.last20.ca. Until next time, stay sustainable.